What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Pro Football Focus Daily Fantasy Hour brought to you by Roto Grinders. I am Britt Devine, joined today, as usual, by Jody Smith and Jeff Ratcliffe from Pro Football Focus. Jody, it's been a very interesting week in daily fantasy. I'm trying to make my football lineups tonight, and I think we can help some of these guys out tonight. How was your week four? We were talking a little bit pre-show. Me and you both liked Allen Hurns quite a bit. Unfortunately, what I surrounded Allen Hurns with was a bunch of pile of garbage. It didn't work out too well for me in tournaments. I know you had some exposure to him as well. So how was your week four?
You know what? It was just about the same. You know, I hit a home run with Charles Clay in most of my lineups, and Allen Hurns was awesome. But it was the more expensive guys that were the big letdown last week. In particular, you know, when you save money on someone like Allen Hurns by spending $3,800 at DraftKings on him, you're able to shell out the extra money for Julio Jones. And game script dictated that he ended up with single digits, and that pretty much just kills your lineup. So overall, it was a pretty frustrating week four.
Jeff, how was your week four? Me personally, like I just said, didn't go the greatest. How'd it go for you, buddy?
Oh, I hate to say it then, because it was one of my best DFS weeks ever.
Oh man, that was my week three. Week three was great for me. Week four, not so much.
I've been having a great season so far, but I had a near 100% exposure to Devontae Freeman across like every site. Mm-hmm. So that really kind of did it. I mean, I had a lot of Julio Jones as well. But, you know, and that Carlos Williams touchdown was a big saver.
That saved everybody.
Yeah, that was huge. I was fist pumping by myself in the living room. But, yeah, it was good, and looking to keep that momentum going into week five.
So, Jeff, I'm poking around on Pro Football Focus, one of the things we always like to highlight. I know you know every single defensive player out there, so it's great having you on the show, one of the few guys around that kind of does all the IDP stuff. So you know all the matchups. I'm poking around on the wide receiver cornerback matchups right now. And don't want to give away all the goods, but sitting atop of this today, Larry Fitzgerald, his matchup looks premier. Why don't you tell everybody about all the stuff going on at Pro Football Focus that can help them out in daily fantasy?
Yeah, absolutely. And that chart alone is worth the $29.99 subscription. So every single week we dive through all the data. We put together who's covering who, and basically, essentially, we'll break it down, because wide receivers don't just stay to one side of the field. Sometimes quarterbacks do, but wide receivers are going to be moving all around. So we'll tell you how often is this guy lined up on the left side, the right side, in the slot, and then you can kind of get a sense of who they're going to match up against. And you're right, Larry Fitzgerald against Josh Wilson for most of the game this week. That's a plus matchup for Larry Fitzgerald. So you take a look at that, and then you can sort it. There are all sorts of categories you can sort by. That alone, $29.99, I think it's well worth it.
Yeah, but six-inch height advantage, all the slot receptions, negative grade for Josh Wilson. I mean, I wasn't really looking at Larry Fitzgerald too much. I think I'm going to have to change some of my lineups up.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of surprising when you sort through and see some of these players who stick out. And we're going to get to some of those guys later on, but there's so much more. I mean, we have the projections. We have the projected box scores as well, which, you know, it's an alternative to Vegas. We all use Vegas to help us out setting our lineups, but now you get somebody else's take. And essentially what we do is we distill all of our projections down to what the scores for these games are going to be. Very accurate, award-winning projections that Mike Clay does, by the way. So all of that great content, definitely head over to Pro Football Focus when you get a chance.
Yeah, and being completely honest here, it's, you know, I didn't use Pro Football Focus last year, and I absolutely love the content this year. So, guys, if you're looking to take your daily fantasy football stuff to the next level, there's college, there's pro, there's the fantasy stuff, don't hesitate to sign up at Pro Football Focus. Jeff, I'm going to stick with you. We've got this big Thursday night game. It's the Indianapolis Colts without Andrew Luck against, you know, the who's playing at quarterback, Houston Texans. If you don't have one quarterback, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. So let's start hitting off on these Texans here. Ryan Mallett, you know, I'm just not interested in him today. There's a couple guys on this team I'm looking at for heavy exposure on my Thursday lineups, and for a cheap quarterback this week, Ryan Mallett, just not.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you, and it's funny when you definitely put it that way. What's that, a Bill Parcells quote?
Yeah.
And he was terrible last week. I mean, look at this. This is the number that really stuck out to me about Ryan Mallett. He was 7 of 20 when not under pressure. Like, that is horrible. And he seems to throw, like, there's no touch passes in his repertoire whatsoever. He has to throw the ball 90 miles an hour at a receiver, doesn't matter how far away they are. And that's just not good. But what here's the other interesting formula that maybe the Texans, this is like the total conspiracy theory, but okay, early on, Hoyer gets benched, Mallett comes in, Mallett looks awesome. This past week, Mallett gets benched, Hoyer comes in, Hoyer looks awesome. So here, if the, tonight they just bench Mallett a little bit into the game, Hoyer's going to be awesome. But there's no value to be had for DFS.
Yeah, and with the benching, you know, it's a legitimate possibility. You just can't use Ryan Mallett at all tonight. But there's two guys I'm extremely interested in tonight. It's Arian Foster. It's DeAndre Hopkins. I was talking to Jody before you showed up. Let's talk DeAndre Hopkins real quick because he's locked into every Thursday lineup cash game I've made this week.
Yeah.
And legitimate, you know, I want to hit you with an over-under here. 14 targets for DeAndre Hopkins today, over under.
I would say under.
Under?
Yeah, I'm going to go under. I would say probably 12 and a half, 13 would be the number that I'd be looking at. Obviously, you can't see 12 and a half, but if I were to mathematically put it, it would probably be 12 and a half. And I think that that's fair. Now, last week, let's keep this in mind. He saw 22 targets. Everybody's talking about that, but 9 of them were catchable. That's it. So that is important to note. Yes, he's going to see heavy volume here regardless based on the situation. I mean, there's a couple things to play out here. Obviously, wide receivers banged up for the Texans. Mm-hmm. Vontae Davis banged up and not looking like he's going to be a go. I haven't seen any information suggesting that he's definitely out yet, but it sounds like that's going to be the case. That bodes really well for him. So I do like this situation a lot. I agree. You almost have to lock him into your lineups.
What about Arian Foster? Just a guy, he came back last week, didn't do anything. I'm expecting him to, you know, they're saying they're going to let him go. If Arian Foster's feeling good, they're going to keep playing him, running him as much as he can. I think he's going to have one of these huge games. This looks like it could be one. I'm just worried, is he, you know, in his head, is he 100% in his head, mentally ready to let that groin? You know, he's got to push off a lot of explosiveness there. Is he ready?
I think he is. I think last week was a product of game script. And when you watch it closely, you got Foster. I mean, all of that we've seen out of Foster in the past was there. It was just maybe him turned up to about 80%. And not that he couldn't go to 100%. It looked like he was more testing it out every time that he was on the field. And he didn't really need to. I mean, that's the unfortunate thing. They got down so quickly that they didn't really need to rely on him. And, you know, when you look at this matchup here, the Colts have given up an average of almost 91 yards a game to opposing running backs and one score per game. So that does bode well if they're going to win this game. And let's be clear here, too. This is a divisional game. So even if on paper it might look like, well, I mean, obviously with the news on the other side of the ball, it might be a little bit closer. But it might look like the Colts are strong favorites here. Strange things happen in division games, and they could certainly be in this one. You're right. It would not shock me at all if we saw a Foster explosion tonight.
GPP shots. I think me, everybody else, everyone's going to be on Hopkins. They've got a couple other guys. You've got Mumphrey there. He looks like he's going to be the number two wide receiver tonight. You've got Jalen Strong. You've got Chandler Worthy. Are any of these guys worth a GPP shot? I think Mumphrey, you know, for a Thursday game, a lot of these guys get juiced way up in ownership. He might be kind of the sneaky, you know, you lock him in on DraftKings or use him in your Thursday lineup for a tournament. And I think you got some upside there.
Yeah, a little bit, because he's going to be the guy on the field in two wide receiver sets. In three wide receiver sets, Worthy will be out there. It won't be Jalen Strong. We haven't seen anything of Jalen Strong since the preseason yet, but he will get worked in tonight. I just don't think I could use him because we don't know. Is this going to be a night where he sees 25 snaps or where he sees 10 snaps? And if he's out there for 10 snaps, what's he running, five routes? I mean, and sure, he has upside. He's a 4-4 guy, big-bodied receiver. But I just don't want to rely on that. And you're right. Of these players, surprisingly enough, I'm really surprised we're talking about Mumphrey right now. But he would be a very, very sneaky play, especially at his price point.
Jody, let's go to the Colts here. Andrew Luck's out. It's Matt Hasselbeck in all likelihood starting, I believe. He's had some sickness this week. You know, his price was so cheap last week. A lot of people ended up using him, but his price has been bumped up to a reasonable level this week. And I just don't see it for him this week.
No, I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. I mean, if you're going to go cheap at quarterback, there's just so many more consistent options out there. What we saw from Hasselbeck was kind of a more conservative approach with the Colts last week going short. Hasselbeck ended up he ended up with a 63% completion percentage, which is okay. And the 282 yards is fine. But at 6 yards an attempt, you know, he was only 2 of 9 on deep passes. So what? That's why you saw the short routes to Kobe Fleener. And it just it kind of hampered the Colts' potential to go deep. And then you saw Frank Gore actually catch a season-high number of passes. So I think that's what you're going to get with Hasselbeck. And in particular, if he's going to be more limited by being ill, you're just going to see a lot of dink and dunks and short passes. And it's just nothing too exciting. And he's nothing more than just a minimum throw it against the fan and just hope that he can take on, you know, and the Texans defense in this particular game. So it's just nothing that interests me in particular.
What do you think of, you know, Gore, Hilton, Moncrief? Looks like Allen's going to be back in there. Fleener. All these guys, you know, they all performed decent, but none of them were great. And tonight with Allen back, you can't use Fleener. With Hassel back in there, you know, if the Texans go to a ground game, maybe they don't have the ball so much. I'm literally not rostering a single Colt. I've got, I think, about 20 Thursday GPP lineups out there around the industry today. Not a single Colt.
No, Frank Gore actually did not rate very, very well last week as a runner. Actually, was next to last in our running back rankings, and you know, some of that has to do with the fact that he keeps fumbling the ball around the goal line. And if you can't score, I mean, that severely limits him. But interestingly, he did catch a season high number of passes. He was actually positive in the passing game. You know, he caught 5 passes, and then he actually caused 5 missed tackles, which, you know, from an elusive standpoint, was great. But you know, the running ability wasn't necessarily there, and the Texans fairly respectable against the run. So, no, I'm not really interested there. And with the wide receivers, I think, you know, with Hilton, he's got this phenomenal record against the Texans, something like 35 catches.
Andrew Luck, not with Matt Hasselbeck.
Right, all with Luck. 35 catches, 661 yards, and 6 touchdowns. I mean, just phenomenal. He's just completely destroyed the Texans, but all of those games, like you mentioned, have just come from Gore and with Luck. So with Luck out of the game, you just, you know, I think what you saw last week from Hilton is about what you're going to see this week. And with Moncrief, the same thing too. Yep. If you're going to go with a minimal Colt receiver, you want to throw something against the fan, look at the revenge factor for Andre Johnson there. Now, I know Andre Johnson has done absolutely nothing so far, and he's been one of the most disappointing players in all of fantasy, but you have to look at the fact that he is returning to Houston. There's a huge revenge factor here. They may go out of their way to pump a lot of extra targets his way this week. And you know, if you're going to go with someone who you just want to throw something against the fan, you have to have some action tonight. You know, you might be worth a dart throw.
We love revenge games here on Roto Grinders. So I can get behind that for sure. Although I don't have any Andre Johnson, not a single Colt in any of my lineups. Jeff, let's move into position by position here. Let's start with quarterback. And at the top here, you've got Aaron Rodgers at home against St. Louis. He's great at home. And you've got Tom Brady. And for me, if I'm spending up at quarterback this week, it's Tom Brady, and it's not even particularly close for me. I was browsing through the Pro Football Focus stats. Third highest accuracy percentage this season, 69% completion percentage under pressure. You talked about Ryan Mallett, 7 for 20 when he has no pressure. Tom Brady, 69% under pressure. And with this Dallas offense struggling, you know, they lost Dunbar, they lost Dez Bryant, Tony Romo. There's going to be some very short fields, some easy opportunities for this Patriots offense. They're full go. They don't let up until it's 50-10 late in the fourth quarter. Tom Brady, the clear number one option at quarterback for me.
Absolutely. And yeah, if you're going to pay up, I mean, I would prefer to do this in a cash game for sure. And I've already started looking at those lineups and Brady is ended up in a lot of my cash game lineups. You look at this Cowboys defense, they've given up in week 3 to Matt Ryan, 285 yards and 2 scores, and that was in a run-heavy game. Last week, 359 yards and 2 scores to Drew Brees, who was throwing the ball 4.4 yards down the field. That's it. That was his average depth of throw. So dinking, dunking, but still. Now, one thing to note, Sean Lee was actually cleared for practice today. He was concussed last week. That's a big deal. You know, don't understate or undervalue Sean Lee in this defense. He is the heartbeat of this defense. He is what Cam Chancellor is to the Seattle Seahawks. He's the straw that stirs the drink. So that does put a little damper on things, but still, like you said, the fact that the Patriots will push the pedal down to the metal until the end of the fourth quarter is it really bodes well for Brady. I don't think there's any higher floor, and absolutely love him as a cash game play.
Yeah, the Dallas offense, they like, you know, they wanted to run the ball a lot, eat clock, convert third downs to Dez Bryant. None of those guys are there. Even they lost their little dink and dunk Dunbar. He's gone now. I just see the offense for Dallas just struggling horribly this week. Just going to be some really short fields for the Patriots. I absolutely love Tom Brady. Jody, let's talk about another guy at the top here, Matt Ryan. You don't run on Washington. You pass on them. We'll talk about Devontae Freeman, but I'm completely off Freeman. I'm going to have no Freeman lineups this week, Jeff, so maybe we'll talk about that later. But, Jody, what do you think of Matt Ryan here, to Julio Jones, to Hankerson? Roddy White's basically an afterthought now. I absolutely love Matt Ryan at home against these Redskins.
Yeah, Matt Ryan is still our sixth-ranked quarterback for the year. You know, maybe the best news possible for looking at this week with his value actually going down was the fact that the game script last week, when they got off to such a huge lead against Houston, that they really, you know, kind of took the foot off the gas and relied on Freeman more. And, you know, Ryan's statistics last week were a little underwhelming, but again, you know, that caused his numbers to go down. When you look at Washington, they're ranked 25th against fantasy quarterbacks, so there's a lot of opportunities there. And like you said, Washington has one of the, if not the best run defense in the league. So you have to imagine that Atlanta's focus this week is going to be to attack on the air. And Ryan is he's moderately priced. If you're looking to go with a guy that's got top three potential and you don't mind shelling out that middle range quarterback price, he's definitely at home one of the guys that I'll be focusing on this week.
Yeah, Ryan to Julio Jones. I think that's going to be one of the more popular GPP options out there this week. Julio Jones probably going to be one of the higher owned receivers as well. We'll talk some game theory when we get into receivers. But Jeff, let's go. This is my pick. I threw this guy in here because he is a guy I am absolutely in loving this week, and that is Phillip Rivers. 22 fantasy points per game Phillip Rivers has since the start of 2014 at home. He's been lights out this year, 768 yards, 5 touchdowns already at home this year. You know, Michael Vick's the quarterback for the Steelers, possibly turnover prone. The Steelers defense is horrible. The Chargers defense is horrible. I'm feeling a shootout on Monday night.
I don't know if I would call the Steelers defense horrible at this point. Stephon Tuitt is playing out of his mind. Cameron Hayward looked awesome on Thursday night last week. They found themselves as a safety to replace Troy Polamalu and Will Allen. Ryan Shazier will be back this week. And Ross Cockrell, he's been really playing well. That was a nice little pickup by the Steelers. So I don't know if I would go that far. But, you know, what they've done is they've shut down two anemic passing offenses in the last 2 weeks in St. Louis and Baltimore. Neither one of them particularly stacked as a passing offense. So we'll say that. But you know, the secondary is the weak spot. So that there's certainly that. William Gay and Antoine Blake have both struggled so far this year. Antoine Blake giving up 18 catches on 25 targets for 203 yards this season. So he can certainly be picked on. But we're burying the lead here. Antonio Gates is back.
Yes.
You gotta love that.
Touchdown machine.
You gotta love it. So I do like Phillip Rivers this week. I mean, as much as the Steelers defense is sort of impressing from where we thought they were, I like Rivers a lot as a play.
If you were playing, this is kind of a debate I've had with myself all week. Phillip Rivers, Tyrod Taylor, they're the same price on FanDuel. Who would you take in a cash game this week?
I think I would probably lean towards Phillip Rivers. The potential for the passing upside I like a lot. The matchup for Tyrod Taylor is a little tricky. And I know we're going to talk about him in a minute, so I won't get too far ahead of ourselves.
Jody, let's talk about kind of a low-value guy I'm eyeing, I think, in tournaments. The famous Jameis Winston. So, you know, you got Evans, you got Vincent Jackson out there. You know, we think Jameis Winston, he's been a horrible NFL quarterback pretty much so far. But we don't really care on this show about how they're doing as an NFL quarterback. We care about how they're doing in fantasy. And if you've taken him every week, he's been so cheap. He's actually paid off his price every single time. He's been doing well. Jacksonville, you can beat him through the air. I mean, those targets, Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson, they're just huge red zone targets. I don't mind if he throws a pick or two as long as he can throw two or three touchdowns, 250-plus yards, and I think that's a possibility this week.
Yeah, absolutely. The numbers you threw out there are pretty close to what you would do if you do the math in this particular game. The Jags defense has given up just at 293 yards a game, and Winston's thrown for 241. So, you know, you crunch the numbers there, you're coming up with about 250 to 260 per game. Interestingly, with Winston, he's been extremely inefficient. He's the fourth lowest ranked pro football focused quarterback, mainly because of the inefficiency and the turnovers there. But at home, in both of his home games, he has thrown two-plus touchdowns. So you got to like that. The turnovers are bad. He's got six picks at home. So, you know, like you mentioned, you weren't too concerned about turnovers, so that's fine. The good thing about Winston is not only does he have a pair of elite wide receivers right now, the $5,100 cost on DraftKings, I mean, that's really reasonable. It's right up there around with Matt Hasselbeck. And I got to be honest, if you're going to go cheap at quarterback, I mean,
not even close.
I'm going to spend the 100 extra bucks on Winston and go for that. You know, like I said, with the math, the 250 to 260 a game, I mean, just based on the numbers, you're looking at two touchdowns this week. So that's, I mean, I wouldn't think Hasselbeck can approach that number. So, yeah fire up Hasselbeck.
Super cheap quarterback this week, and I really like him for tournaments. You use him, you use Vincent Jackson, you use Mike Evans. You know, you can get the Gronks, you can get Charles and Le'Veon Bell in there too with that. And there's plenty of upside in a stack like that. So he's a guy I'm heavily targeting in my tournaments. Jeff, let's go kind of rapid fire on these quarterbacks here to close out the position. Aaron Rodgers, he's at home. We talked at the top. You know, Brady to me is just so far superior to Aaron Rodgers. But I think Rodgers, because of that, makes an excellent tournament play. But for cash games, I'm not buying it this week.
Yeah, exactly. The floor is going to be a little bit lower. Tougher defense here. I mean, obviously the Rams kind of playing out of their minds along the defensive line. Robert Quinn, Aaron Donald, they're just awesome there. Their secondary can be picked on, though. So if he gets enough time. Now, we've seen Rodgers get under pressure recently. So hopefully if he has enough time, last week, the Rams gave up 352 yards passing to Carson Palmer. You like that, but you're right. Lower floor, high ceiling, but lower floor, not ideal for cash games.
Drew Brees, he's going into Philadelphia. I like Brees at home. You mentioned earlier his depth of target with that shoulder issue, but he's going to be practicing in full this week, I believe. Philadelphia is going to be able to score, I think. We can talk about maybe both sides in this matchup here. If you had to pick one, Bradford or Drew Brees? I got Bradford on the list, so let's just mix them all together here.
Well, I do like Bradford, what he showed last week, and this is a stat I had in my five stats column on Mondays that I throw out there, 200 yards in the air, you know, and that, I mean, it's a stat that not a lot of people talk about, but it was the third highest total of the week, and it was right there with the top two. Top number one was 202 yards in the air, so he's right there. And just the fact of the matter that they're finally taking shots a little bit. I mean, we saw Nelson Aguilar get a little bit more involved and make the most nonchalant, amazing catch I think we've seen this season. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, Odell Beckham where it was like this big hubbub. He just, boom, and then that was it. So either way, I like Bradford, but I think Breeze, the matchup does favor Breeze here, even though it's outside, even though it's on the road. The Eagles secondary can be picked on. The linebackers are still beat up. Michael Kendricks isn't going to play in this. So there's going to be a lot of room to work here. And even with that dink and dunk that we saw last week, it was really effective. And you know where the linebackers come into play, CJ Spiller, Mark Ingram, I think they can get some damage done there too. So I do like Breeze. If I was to choose one of the two, I'm going to choose Breeze.
Let's talk Tyrod Taylor, the run game for the Bills. There's going to be no McCoy, no Carlos Williams. We saw Booby Dixon. He's going to be in there, but a news report just came out looking like he might just get goal line carry, short yardage. They signed Boom Heron. Looks like he's going to be mixed in pretty well there. I just think this is going to be a Tyrod Taylor game, airing it out, running the ball. I like, even without Sammy Watkins, if he doesn't play, he's had a good connection with Clay. I really like Tyrod Taylor this week. You mentioned his matchup, not premier, though.
No, it isn't. And a lot of people overlook that about the Titans. The Titans have a great pass rush with Derek Morgan and Brian Arakpo coming off the sides and Jarrell Casey on the interior. And Jason McCourty comes back this week. So that's not that good. And let's look at what we had last week. Not much running room for Carlos Williams. The offense struggled. And why? Sammy Watkins. Even though he's not playing that well, he draws the attention of the defense. It opens things up for what the offense can do. And I don't know. I'm reluctant to use Tyrod Taylor this week. I think that, you know, if you were ranking him out, yeah, sure, maybe overall he might be the 13th, 14th quarterback. But I don't know. I'm reluctant. I just think there are better options, even though he is still on the cheaper side.
Yeah, we two other guys. We're going to skip the analysis on this to move the show along. But Blake Bortles and Kirk Cousins, if you're looking for cheap flyers and tournaments, they're both pretty cheap. I think both teams are going to be passing the ball quite a bit if you're looking. You know, I like Jameis Winston over both of those. But real quick, any thoughts on those two?
Weak Tampa Bay secondary for Bortles, so I like that. But Cousins, this is an interesting stat. Falcons have given up a league-high 365 yards and 42 catches to running backs. Okay, Chris Thompson? 365, 42. I like that. So I think Cousins is going to have a decent day here too.
That's decent. Thompson wasn't on my radar at all, but I'm going to have to revisit that. It's a nice little nugget there. Let's move to running back. Jody, we're going to kick it off with you. There's a lot of debate going on in the daily fantasy community. Is it Jamal Charles? Is it Le'Veon Bell for the number one option this week? And while I like Jamal Charles, to me, the clear, absolute clear number one player running back this week, it's Le'Veon Bell. He doesn't get off the field 97% of the snaps since his return on Pro Football Focus. Chargers, second lowest run grade in defense in all of football. And they allowed Isaiah Crowell and that other scrub, Duke Johnson, to go absolutely ballistic last week, 246 yards and a touchdown. And with Pittsburgh, it's just Le'Veon Bell going to get all that, Jody. I mean, how do you not play this guy in cash games?
No, absolutely. I'm in total agreement. If you're going to spend the big bucks on the running back, it's got to be Le'Veon Bell. He's my number one. Since he's come back in two games, 124 snaps. That's tied with Jamal Charles, actually, for the most. But in that time, Le'Veon Bell has just shown on the field why he's the elite option. He has 10 missed tackles. He's caught 14 passes. And he's just doing everything. With Michael Vick out there, you know, that's kind of limits Pittsburgh's offense ability to go downfield. So Le'Veon Bell just plays that much more of a bigger role for them. And but when it comes to the matchup, it's just the Chargers, the second most rushing yards allowed, 487. Gio Bernard hit him for 123. Adrian Peterson hit him for 126. Top of the line running backs have just been running all over them. They gave up 14 passes last week to running backs. Yep. They've given up two touchdown passes to running backs on the year. 193 scrimmage yards per game go to running backs. I mean, this sounds like Le'Veon Bell just doing the numbers. He should approach 200 total yards, and he has a great shot at getting multiple touchdowns in this game.
If Crowell and Duke Johnson can put up 246 in a score, I mean, that's all Bell's, and Bell's better than both of those guys, and I think this game's going to be a very high-scoring one. So Bell is clearly ahead of Charles. Even on DraftKings, where he's, you know, much more expensive, you know, compared to everything else, I'm spending up on Bell over Charles. Jeff, let's, you know, talking about Charles, as much as I like Bell, I do like Charles some. You know, if you had to pick between the two, is it Bell or Jamal Charles for you?
It is Charles. I have to go back. I'm sorry. I can't call Duke Johnson a scrub, man. This guy is Miami Hurricanes all-time rushing leader. Oh. That hurt. That really did. And he was awesome. And it's going to keep coming more and more throughout the season. But, yeah, it is going to be Le'Veon Bell. You know, hey, I like Charles as well. And, you know, it's an interesting matchup. You know, the run game or the run grade at PFF is a little deceptive. When you look at them, the Bears, the fifth highest run grade here. But yet most of that's Pernell McPhee. He's been playing out of his mind. A lot of this defense has been struggling for the most part, so don't be too misled. There's a lot of debate out there. A lot of people have been talking about this recently about PFF grades and some of the drawbacks to them. Well, if you just take them at face value, yes, you're not going to get much insight there. You have to look to what's creating the grades and look a little bit beneath the surface. But the Bears have given up the eighth most rushing yards to opposing running backs this season. Just running back. So that, I mean, it could be a decent enough game, but yeah, I agree. It's going to be Le'Veon Bell. I love the way he's used as a wide receiver and as well as a running back.
Yeah, the Bears is a team. They've allowed the most points per game of any team in the NFL. That certainly doesn't hurt for fantasy. Are you worried at all? Andy Reid, you know, sometimes he just is like, hey, Jamal Charles, you know, we're up by 20. You're only going to get 14 carries and like four or five receptions this week. That just worries me just the slightest and just bumps Bell up even more for me this week.
Well, as a long-suffering Eagles fan, I know Andy Reid very well and his tendencies. You know, Andy Reid loves using that timeout, with 30 seconds into the game, just wasting those. His 2-minute drill actually takes about, 8 minutes. Watch the Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb against the Patriots. Us Eagles fans really love that one. Yeah, and you're right. He does some crazy stuff at times, and we can't necessarily predict it. It's a great offense for running backs when the running back is incorporated. But, that volatility there, definitely somebody to consider for GPPs, but not cash games. It's just too volatile.
Real quick, I just want to go back in case you're not in chat, guys. Keith Mumford, he is starting. He's gotten a starting gig for today. I'm still waiting on my tweet deck. I have Avante Davis tab open, so no word on him yet. As soon as I see that come up, I'll let you guys know because that's going to be a big one on DeAndre Hopkins if he plays today. Jody, let's get back into running backs. You've got Deion Lewis. He just got paid. He's going to be a man on a mission this week. You've got LeGarrette Blount. If you had to pick one of these guys, I think, this game just screams to me like 42 to 10. Like the Patriots are going to clobber the Cowboys, I think, this week. Like if you had to pick one of these guys, do you want Lewis, who's going to be in there to start the game? And if the game stays close, is probably going to be in there more. Or do you want Blount, who's going to be in there from the third quarter on, if you think this game's a blowout, just grinding, churning out yards, and just crushing it at the goal line?
Well, forced to choose, I would actually choose Lewis this week. Game script is what's really going to, as usual, is going to dictate it. If Dallas can't move the ball and can't score points, then it's going to become, just like we saw the last time the Patriots played, you're going to see a big LeGarrette Blount second half. But from what I'm looking at, Dallas has given up the third most fantasy points to running backs and the second most through the air. And that's where you want to see Deion Lewis back there. And in particular, when you're going with the full PPR format there at DraftKings, he's somebody I'm definitely more interested in. Like I said, if Dallas is unable to move the ball, and we have a lot of reason to think that they're going to struggle with Brandon Weeden under center, this could be the kind of week where both running backs have value. But keep in mind that from what I've seen, when Deion Lewis is in the game early, they're not pulling him out on the goal line. So he's got that great opportunities to get those the early touchdown runs. And at 4,800 at DraftKings, he's one of the guys that I've already got in all the lineups that I've dictated so far.
Yeah, he was a guy, when the week first came out, I had Anthony Dixon in there. I thought he was going to play. I've kind of moved off Anthony Dixon. I don't even think I have a single Thursday lineup with him right now. And the guy I moved my roster around on DraftKings, and that was to get Deion Lewis in. So I'm right there with you. I don't mind Blount either. If you think the game's going to go in there, he's sneaky in tournaments. I'm not sure I'd trust it in cash games. But what do you think about, rostering the Lewis-Blount combo, getting all the points in the backfield and maybe securing, 30 fantasy points, on a site like FanDuel out of your backfield? Is that something interesting to you, Jody?
No, I never like to put all my eggs in one basket. I'd rather go one way or the other, and this way I'm leaning towards Lewis. I mean, there's something to be said about doing both. It would have worked out fantastic in week three, but personally, I don't like to do that. Hey, you never know. Something could go wrong, could be a bad week, and you don't want to, maybe the Patriots somehow get held to 16 or 13 points, and if you got two guys from one position on one team, you almost have no shot at winning when you do something like that.
Jeff, let's talk about a guy I have rostered him a little bit, but I'm going pretty much not all in, but a guy I'm really looking hard at this week, TJ Yeldon of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, there's not many many backs in the league right now that are just on the field getting all the snaps. He's one of them. The Tampa Bay defense, it's the worst on Pro Football Focus. I mean, I legitimately see 20 touches, 80 to 100 yards. The only thing he hasn't done this year is score a touchdown, and I think he gets it this week.
And it's interesting he hasn't scored a touchdown. He scored 37 times in college. He scored 9 touchdowns in his last 7 games. And Tampa struggles against the run. I don't know what's going on with Tampa right now. I'm really not sure. I get a lot of questions about Lavonte David. I mean, part of it's game script. Part of it, he's not playing very well. And then they have a rookie in there as well at linebacker, Quan Alexander. And here's what we've seen against the Bucs with running backs so far this season. Tennessee, 25 carries for 115 yards and a score out of their running backs in week one. New Orleans, 25 carries, 109 yards, 2 scores in week two. Houston, 45 carries, 187 yards and a score.
You're my boy, Blue.
And then last week, Jonathan Stewart. So we're not going to talk about him. But The moral of the story here, this is a pattern, and take advantage of it. I think this is the week Yeldon finally finds the end zone.
Yeah, he's pretty cheap around the industry on FanDuel. I got to say, I just can't squeeze enough out of my lineup to get Deion Lewis in. And I'm staring at TJ Yeldon in cash games, Jeff. Is that, you know, am I overlooking something? He's just the guy I think he's due this week to get that touchdown. He doesn't come off the field. He gets the touches. And touches equals money to me. A guy I'm eyeing pretty hard.
Yeah, and he showed it last week. I think he showed that he took a step forward. He caused 4 missed tackles as a runner. He had 54 yards after the contact as well. Obviously, you know the basic stats. So, but those stats really show me he's more comfortable now. I think this offense is a little bit more comfortable as well, especially seeing Allen Hurns play the way that he did. So I think this is a nice play. You know, and ordinarily, I don't think, you know, the first 4 weeks of the season, I would never thought to play Yeldon in a cash game. But this week, it looks like the floor is certainly high enough to justify that.
Jody, let's go rapid fire and close out the running backs. Let's talk some Todd Gurley. I saw an interesting stat from TJ Hernandez on Twitter. I met him at the Roto Grinders party. Jeff Fisher, when the team, you know, when you're 10-point underdogs, he likes to run the ball more than at any other time, you know, any other situation in all of football. You know, he wants to kill the clock, and we saw Gurley kind of break out last week. You know, you think he's going to do that against the Packers? Or try to take the ball away from Aaron Rodgers, run Gurley, who's clearly their, by far and away, their best skill position player at all, and just kind of let it ride. You know, if Gurley can turn the clock, keep the game rolling here, is he in line for a big game?
Yeah, I mean, if that's what their offense, if that's what they, you know, Jeff Fisher likes to do, then this is a perfect opportunity for that, because they're going to be big underdogs against Green Bay's offense. I guess it really kind of depends on how St. Louis' defense works there. But, you know, with Gurley, they took off the knee brace, and so much for nursing him along. When you look at the touches for last week, he racked up 21, but Benny Cunningham had all 4. Trey Mason had 2. And 21 touches and 38 snaps. That means they're going to be running the ball through Todd Gurley. You know, you got to have some interest in him this week. But again, it's risky from the only standpoint of if Green Bay looks like Green Bay at home and they're off to a fast start. You know, game script may dictate that they give up on that run, even though TJ, he's got a great stat there, and I love TJ, but, you know, this may be the kind of situation where they actually have to rely on the passing game if they get behind heavy. So it comes with some risk.
Let's talk Devontae Freeman. I'm just not on him. You can't run on Washington. Tevin Coleman's probably going to be back a little bit. I expect the pass game. I'm hoping the public, you know, 2-3 touchdown games in a row rosters Devontae Freeman. I'm off him.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was off him last week. I figured I'm not paying up for the guy that just rushed for 3 touchdowns 2 weeks ago. And of course, you know, both of us struggled last week in DFS. Jeff's over there smiling. He had a great week because he was not off of Freeman last week, and he went off again.
Let me ask Jeff. Jeff, are you on Freeman again this week? Are me and Jody, are we thinking crazy that it's just not the spot to pay up for him this week?
No, I'm with you this week. Right. Last week, thing about it too, and about PFF, that, like I said, Mike Clay's projections – this guy does more work on the offensive side of the ball than anybody in the industry. And Freeman was our number one player at running back last week in the projections. None of us wanted to believe it. I didn't rank him that way in season long, but it stuck out so much. I just had to play the guy.
Yeah, the touches, you know, but now I think there's going to be competition for the touches this week. So paying up for a guy when the touches are coming down, not something I'm looking to do. Let's go Justin Forsett here real quick. Taliaferro back at practice today. Kind of worries me on the goal line. He had the breakout game last week, but you can run on the Browns here. He's pretty reasonably priced. What's your take on him?
Yeah, Cleveland has the worst fantasy run defense in the league, so you have to look at it from there. But with Baltimore's passing offense sputtering the way it is, I was very surprised that Forsett had such a great game last week, but did 0. He didn't even catch a pass, and that really kind of hampers his value. And I fully expect that they get inside the 5 that Taliaferro is going to come in and take those goal line carries. So, you know, I'm just kind of lukewarm on Forsett. He has the potential to have a lot of yardage, but if they're not going to throw him the ball, that really kind of limits his DFS value.
I do want to say Vontae Davis is active here. So let me revisit this. Jeff, maybe you can chime in here. Vontae Davis back. You know, how would you approach DeAndre Hopkins today?
Well, I mean, for boy, oh boy, that's not good. I think that, you know, we're going to still see heavy volume, but now this definitely limits DeAndre Hopkins' upside. I don't think I would roster him in cash games, possibly some GPP exposure, but this really does change things because we can expect Davis to shadow DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to have to reassess, maybe move some, make some lineup changes here. I was pretty much all in on Hopkins. I certainly won't be all in. I'll probably still have some, but I will be reducing my exposure in cash games. I think we'll be prudent with Vontae Davis in there. Let's go to real quick, Jody. Boobie Dixon, I liked him earlier in the week. We hit on him. He's kind of the cheap play of the week. I don't have any exposure to him, especially with the recent news of the goal line back situation, just short yardage. They signed Boom Heron. You know, they wanted a guy who's ready to get in that can kind of know the playbook. They're sounding like Boom Heron's probably going to get, you know, the work between the 20s when it's not in the end zone or anything. I'm just a little scared on Dixon.
Yeah, not to mention that, you know, Dixon's only played 25 snaps on air, and he's also nursing a calf injury. But when you look at the Titans' run defense, they've actually been really respectable so far this year. They've only given up 71 rushing yards a game, and only 5 passes have been completed to opposing running backs so far. So, you know, with Dixon, we still don't know for sure if Carlos Williams is going to sit this game out. Not that I've heard. I mean, it's a concussion. It's not looking positive for him, but Dixon is not someone, even as a minimal cost guy, that it doesn't look like he's going to get enough touches to justify putting him in a DFS lineup.
Yeah, Jeff, let's go to wide receivers. And here's I guess this can lead off. If you were on Hopkins and you were looking for a guy to mix into your lineups, you know, you didn't want all the exposure to Hopkins, I got one for you. How about some Keenan Allen? The Steelers, you mentioned their pass D getting a little better, but they've given up big games. Let me find there at the Monday night game. They have given up huge games to Kamar Aiken. They gave up big games that's Le'Veon Bell. I got pulled up here. Hold on. Let me find a guy who actually played all the games here. So Kamar Aiken, they gave a big game to Torrey Smith. Huge games to Julian Edelman here. There's going to be no Stevie Johnson, I think. He's been held out 2 practices in a row. Really don't think he's going to play with a hamstring injury. They have Malcolm Floyd. He's looking like he's going to be back with a concussion. Even with Antonio Gates back, I just think the Chargers are going to be passing all over the Steelers' offense. And unfortunately for me, I had both Keenan Allen and DeAndre Hopkins in my lineup, but I think he makes a very nice swap if you want to get off Hopkins.
Yeah, this one's going to be interesting, though, because it looks like he could see a little bit of Ross Cockrell, and that was the guy who I mentioned earlier. He's taken over as the nickel corner, so he's in sub-package situations. That's not as good as the matchup that you'll see, on the outside, potentially here on the other side with Antoine Blake. Even Stevie Johnson's matchup with William Gay, because William Gay kicks to the slot in 3 receiver sets. That's a better matchup too. But the thing about it is volume. I mean, we've seen 46 targets already for Keenan Allen. That's 4th in the league behind only Hopkins. Okay, we knew that one. Demaryius Thomas and Julio Jones. So the volume bodes positively. We've seen games where Phillip Rivers in certain game scripts will just pepper Keenan Allen with targets. So the fact of that, the matchup, like we said, this looks like it might be a higher scoring game. Yeah, I do like the play. I will have some exposure to Keenan Allen this week.
Yeah, the Chargers defense has just given up huge games, so I like Pittsburgh to score. I think San Diego is going to be shooting out with them, so I really like Keenan Allen this week. Jody, let's go to Julio. We're not buying Freeman. Julio, I mean, who do you think is going to be more owned? Is it going to be Le'Veon Bell or Julio Jones this week?
Well, forced to choose. If you're going to spend the big bucks, I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell. Like I said, I expect him to approach 200 total yards and multiple touchdowns. But I've got absolutely no problem with Julio. I mean, it kind of tasted bad last week spending all that money on him, but it wasn't necessarily his fault with the way the Texans had just no answer for Freeman, and the game script dictated that there was no real reason to keep peppering Jones for targets. But just the way he's been used this year all over the field, I mean, you absolutely have to love him at home. He's going to be lined up with Chris Culver. I mean, that's the second biggest advantage on the wide receiver versus cornerback charts that we have at Pro Football Focus. It's the second biggest edge this week. And if you're going to spend the big bucks on a receiver, I don't have any problem at all with it being Julio Jones, who I think is going to have a pretty big bounce back game here.
You know, what do you think about Odell Beckham in tournaments? I think everyone, you know, the public, a lot of people are going to be moving to hold Julio Jones. You know, Odell Beckham, he's got a pretty nice matchup in San Francisco. What do you think about swapping to him in tournaments to kind of differentiate yourself from the crowd?
I like that strategy. Personally, I keep getting it wrong with Beckham. He's just been kind of all over the place. When you look at Eli, it's interesting. He's got, what, 7 touchdowns and 1 interception. He's protecting the ball pretty well. But Beckham has just not been that out of this world superstar that he was down the second half of the year last year. And if you're going to be thinking contrarian and you want to spend the big bucks on a receiver, I have absolutely no problem considering Beckham. I have a lot of the Eli in some of the lineups I've played with this week, because I mentioned San Francisco, not only are they really bad defensively, not all their fault. Just the losses they took this preseason were just out of control, but they just can't do anything offensively. They can't sustain drives. They can't move the ball. And that just bodes well for New York's opportunities with the ball.
Jody, let's talk. We hit on Jeff. Let's talk Cobb and James Jones here. We talked about Aaron Rodgers. What do you think of the combos here? James Jones, you know, we saw Randall Cobb kind of struggle with the shoulder issue last week. So James Jones got a lot of targets. You know, how are these matchups for these two today? If you had to pick between one of them, Cobb at a high price, James Jones mid-tier, you know, who's got the better matchup? Who do you think is going to be better for their dollars?
Just to go back to Chris Culliver, missed practice 2 days this week already, banged up with a knee injury. This could be Will Blackman in this game. This secondary in Washington is terrible. So that's a fantastic matchup. But, okay, so I love them both. I mean, Janoris Jenkins is going to go up against James Jones, and Jenkins is one of those jump-the-route ball hawk types. He's given up 26 catches so far this year for 249 yards and 4 touchdowns. So that's not good. And needless to say, I love Jones. I think that the mind meld that he has with Aaron Rodgers just really bodes positively for him. You're going to see LaMarcus Joyner play Randall Cobb. Joyner is a slot corner, more of a hybrid safety guy, and he's allowed 15 of 17 balls thrown into his coverage to be caught. So that's a great matchup too. And, you know, we're going to see 3 wide receiver sets the whole time. So I expect Aaron Rodgers to pick on these guys left and right. I mean, if forced to choose one though, I like the price point for Jones more. I think that Cobb's ceiling is so massive though, that it would justify paying up for him, or if his floor is so massive, it justifies paying up for him. But probably leaning towards Jones if forced to choose just one.
Jody, we hit on Jameis Winston. I like the combo to Vincent Jackson and to Mike Evans. If you had to pick one of these guys this week, who's going to have the better matchup? You know, it wouldn't surprise me if one of these guys catches 2 touchdowns, if they split a touchdown each. I really like both of these guys for tournaments. I think the people who played last week with Vincent Jackson, they're going to go right back to him because he had the huge game, where Mike Evans didn't really do too much, but I think he's going to be locked into Mike Evans this week. He's a guy I'm really targeting.
Hey, we're all waiting for that big, yeah. It seems like it's the inevitable Mike Evans breakout. You know, when you look at so far, we mentioned earlier that Jameis Winston has been really inefficient. Well, so has Mike Evans. Those two did not connect at all throughout the preseason. They had trouble just getting on the same page, and that's kind of carried over into the regular season so far. Evans has only caught 10 of 25 targets. That's pretty awful. Again, we're still waiting for that big breakout for him. Vincent Jackson, the worry for me there is everyone's just going to go crazy when they saw that the double-digit catches for last week and the huge thing. But forced to choose, I would probably honestly stick with Jackson, who's been a little bit more consistent. He's significantly cheaper, like in the neighborhood of $1,100 to $1,500 cheaper. And versus Devon House, you get that 5-inch advantage there. You got to think that when they get in and around the goal line, that's going to be something they're going to pick on there. So I'd rather – eventually Mike Evans is going to have that big game. We're all kind of waiting for it. But in this particular week against Jacksonville, I think I would look at V-Jax one more time.
Jeff, we're going to kind of – I'm going to give you all these guys in rapid fire here, because we still have to get the tight ends and get out of here soon. But real quick, Julian Edelman, 10 targets, 10 straight games. You know, I think it's got to be 11 straight games in this game. They're just going to pepper him in the middle there. They're short dink and dunks, you know, 8 to 10 receptions. I think 80 to 100 yards, a shot at a touchdown. They don't really look at him too much in the red zone. But is he worth the price? Another guy you can pivot from DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, yeah. He's going to face Brandon Carr. Brandon Carr has yielded a touchdown in each of the last 3 games. Last week against Drew Brees. Eight balls thrown into his coverage, eight balls caught. So, yeah, absolutely love Edelman.
What about Macklin? This was supposed to be Jody's guy, but maybe you can weigh on as we go through this rapid fire here. You know, he's getting peppered with targets there, 39 through four games, 12th most in the league. And the thing I noticed, it's not Alex Smith's greatest weapon, but he's been targeted seven times, 20-plus yards down the field. They're trying to get it to him deep. That's where he excels. I think he could be in line for a huge game here against the Bears.
Yeah, and you know what I love about Macklin is he's in going through the price list, there's the high-end elite guys, there's the value guys, yep. And he's a tweener this week. So I love him. I'm going to try and get him in as many lineups as possible, back-to-back 100-yard games, and not just in garbage time this last week.
Antonio Brown, just not a guy I can pay up for. His price hasn't come down enough. It'll be great when Ben Roethlisberger returns. I hope the sites don't jack it up because they haven't reduced it enough with Michael Vick in there. Just not a guy I'm really using. Is there even like a tournament, you know, sleeper appeal for you this week?
I think there is. I mean, you know, that Vick Antonio Brown stack probably isn't going to be widely used, but that's about the only place I would use him.
Odell Beckham, your thoughts on him? We mentioned Julio Jones. Julio Jones just has an A++ matchup. How's Odell Beckham's lineup look?
It's interesting because we've seen the 49ers secondary play reasonably well at home, but in two road games against the Steelers in week two, they gave up 339 yards receiving and two touchdowns. And against Arizona in week three, they gave up 208 yards and two touchdowns. I don't know. It's a weird split. It's a stat I found. I don't know if there's any merit to it whatsoever, but I do like Odell Beckham Jr. this week.
Calvin Johnson, he's going to Arizona. He's getting 11 targets per game. They're just not big downfield. He hasn't had the breakout game yet. What's the matchup say to you?
Well, it's Peterson and ordinary, Peterson, but it's beatable. Peterson isn't the guy that a lot of people thought he was. He's had good numbers so far this season, but they haven't really faced fierce kind of competition. I mean, I'd love to see Calvin rebound. We know the potential's there. I think I'll have some exposure to him, but then again, I'm not expecting it to be that big with the way that Stafford is playing right now.
A guy that I don't think anybody's going to be on, you mentioned him in our little write-up before the show here, Terrence Williams, you know, a good sleeper. This game, you know, it projects Dallas getting down in a hurry. All he's got to do is, you know, catch a slant and take it to the house or, you know, connect on one of these deep balls. A guy nobody's going to be on. I kind of like him as a sleeper, just like you do.
Yeah, Patriots giving up a lot of points to quarterbacks, a lot of points to wide receivers this season, and game script is largely the reason why. You know, hey, I'm not a huge Terrence Williams guy, but he's going to see potentially volume here in a great matchup. I mean, that spells some good value.
All right, let's get to the three main value plays this week. I think you can add in a Washington guy as well. But rank these three for me. You've got Snead, Hankerson, and Aiken, who looking like he's going to be the number one receiver this week for the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm going to go Hankerson first against Washington for what I just said earlier. The secondary is down to, you know, basically their last guys. They're scraping the bottom of the barrel. So I love that matchup. Hankerson well ahead of Roddy White in the pecking order now. Willie Snead then would go next against the Eagles. It looks like Byron Maxwell is going to play practice in full today. That doesn't really matter. It's the Eagles secondary. And then Aiken from there, the toughest matchup of the three. The Browns defense is a little bit underrated, I think, and Aiken could have some tough sledding in that matchup. Yeah.
Snead is a guy, if you were on Dixon on DraftKings, it is PPR over there. Give me Snead. Give me the, you know, five or six receptions, 60, 70 yards over Dixon, who's just going to be goal line. And he has just 19 receptions in 5 years. It's just not a PPR back at all. I'll take Snead over Dixon. What do you think about that call, Jeff?
I don't mind it at all. I think the Snead could see some good volume in this game, and he showed he might even be the number one receiver.
Yeah,
as much as I love Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I like me some Snead. Definitely a guy I'm going to have plenty of this weekend. Let's stay at tight end here. Or not stay at tight end. Move on to tight end and the trend. You know, Oakland Raiders versus the tight end. Literally, Jeff, allowing double the fantasy points to tight ends than anybody else in the league. I can't explain it. You know, can you, what's going on with this matchup? Can these guys not cover? Are they scheming to, you know, cover the run or receivers and just leaving it wide open? And is Peyton Manning, is he going to get the ball to Owen Daniels? They have to be aware that Oakland is just giving up all these touchdowns to tight ends.
Oh, yeah, of course they are. And where does it boil down to? It's the defense itself. I mean, you're talking about a defense that has been relying on Curtis Lofton playing every down. Last week, we actually saw him at the end of the game get demoted out of the sub packages, and they brought on Ray Ray Armstrong. Cool name, but not a particularly good football player, at least as in terms of coverage. You know, I think he's more of an outside edge rusher than a coverage guy. But either way, what do I know? What I do know is this: they still aren't that good. And it looks like TJ Carey as well, who was a player who was covering a little bit of tight end so far this year. He was corner safety hybrid. He's going to be out in this game, so I don't know what they're going to do. If Peyton Manning is wise, he's going to continue to exploit this, and we'll see arguably Owen Daniels. I want to call him Owen Wilson for a second there. Owen Daniels.
Hopefully his nose hasn't been broken as much. Right?
His best game of the season statistically. I'm heavy in on Owen Daniels this year.
Yeah, Oakland's allowed, I'm sure you saw in the graphic, 388 yards and 6 touchdowns to tight ends. Peyton Manning, you know, he's too good of a quarterback to not take advantage of this. So easily, and the price, DraftKings, 2.7K. I mean, at a tight end, it's a punt. And, I mean, there's legitimate 10-plus point upside, I think, is very reasonable for Owen Daniels this week, a guy I love on DraftKings. Jody, if you're not on Owen Daniels, say you're trying to, you know, play the Gronk, I mean, he's a guy on DraftKings. I'm so locked into Daniels on DraftKings. I'm having a tough time getting Gronk into my lineup, especially with the news of Dixon just being used on the goal line and some packages. I'm running out of 3K players to afford an expensive tight end. But, man, it just looks like it's going to be a great day for Gronk here. Sean Lee back in. You know, it does take a little bit of a hit to Gronk for me, but he's just a clear number one option, especially with all the other tight ends. They're all starting to creep up in price a little bit. Kelsey's getting up there. Jimmy Graham won't go down in price. And as these guys all kind of move up in price, you know, they don't even approach the floor or the ceiling that Gronk brings, which just makes him an even better play.
Yep, it's all about that ceiling with Gronk. I mean, if you're gonna spend the money with that Brady Gronk package together, I've got it in a couple lineups. I'm going for it. On paper, Dallas looks like they've been pretty solid against tight ends, but when you look at who they've played, the Giants, the Eagles, Falcons, and the Saints, you're talking about teams that are either running committees or don't really emphasize their tight ends much. And with Gronk, and that's even including the fact that New England had one game where they kind of called off the dogs, he's still approaching double-digit targets a game, 5 catches, 102 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, gosh, if you're going to spend the money on tight end, I mean, you absolutely go for it with Gronk. I'm going to do it this week. I don't see how Dallas, even with Sean Lee, I don't see how they have any answers for him. And, you know, again, fired up.
Jeff, we've got a guy in chat, Narniak. He says, Clay's 5,700 on FanDuel. Well, guess what, Narniak? Let's talk some Charles Clay here. Sammy Watkins, he's been getting in some limited practices. So if he plays, I might knock Clay down just a tier. But even if Watkins plays, he stretches the field. Clay's been getting targeted. You can hit the tight end against the Titans, the 8th most fantasy points to tight ends this season. I mean, how do you pass up the price tag on Charles Clay right now?
I don't know if you can. I like him. I like the way he plays football just in general. You know, we saw that in Miami. He's a very athletic guy for his size. We've seen that so far this season. And, you know, going back to week one, this is the one that stands out to me when Austin Seferian Jenkins went off on this Titans team. They gave up 110 yards to the tight end, 2 touchdowns in that game. And they're not particularly good in the middle of the field. That's where they've had some linebacker deficiencies. Avery Williamson, Zach Brown, you know, younger linebackers, and they're going to be over their head in coverage if they have to line up. So if they can get Clay, especially isolated against one of those two guys, it could be another big day for Clay.
If Watkins plays, do you knock down Clay a tick? Does it even bother your projections for him at all?
I mean, maybe a tiny bit, but you're talking only a couple percent lower in terms of targets, so maybe 1 or 2 targets lower. And I still think that, you know, with the way that this receiver pecking order has worked out, he's still going to see his share. And Tyrod Taylor seems to really trust him right now, too, so that bodes well.
Yeah, let's, Jody, let's go to, we've talked Phillip Rivers, we talked Keenan Allen, Le'Veon Bell, we've hit on every position in this game, and we got another one, Antonio Gates, coming back from suspension here. 9 touchdowns in the first 8 games last season before he kind of fell off. He is an old man. Phillip Rivers loves this guy in the red zone. I think they're going to be peppering him with targets here in this game. Just another guy. I think a lot of people are going to be sleeping on him. But I love him coming back in his first game of season.
Yeah, he really revitalized his career last year after we all had had written him off. And you look at the matchup, you see on paper that the Steelers have given up the fourth most fantasy points to tight ends. But a lot of that had to do with Gronkowski. They had absolutely no answer for him in week one. But since that time, there's been some other opportunities there. They gave up eight to San Francisco, eight catches. They gave up five last week to Baltimore's ragtag group of tight ends. And Antonio Gates is very moderately priced. What I expect San Diego to do this week, because they basically have Keenan Allen and then, you know, whatever you want at receiver. I think they're going to run some 12 sets. And I think that Ladarius Green will see plenty of snaps this week. He is actually Pro Football Focus number 11 tight end through the year. So there's no reason for them to all of a sudden throw him to the bench. It may be a little frustrating or hard to predict how they're going to be used, but I have absolutely no problem with the $4,200 cost at DraftKings for Gates this week.
Yeah, ton. You know, if there was another tight end, you know, you have Gronk, you know, give him two touchdowns. If there's any other tight end that you can kind of, you know, I think he's probably going to score two touchdowns. You know, it's got to be Gates. They just love him in the red zone there. Let's close out tight end, get this show over with. We got to get to switching our lineups out with this Vontae Davis news and DeAndre Hopkins. Let's talk Travis Kelce. His price is creeping up there, which makes him a lot less appealing. You can just kind of sneak in, you know, find a way to get Gronk in if you're looking at Kelce, if you ask me, or spend way cheaper. But how's this matchup look in Chicago?
I agree with you. If you're going to spend the big bucks, go ahead and just spend a few extra dollars and get Gronk in there. When you look at Chicago, it's much like Dallas earlier on paper. It looks like they've done a pretty good job against tight ends. But keep in mind, Chicago's played Green Bay, Oakland, Arizona, teams that don't really emphasize their tight ends much. The one quality tight end they played in Jimmy Graham caught 7 of 8 targets for 83 yards and a touchdown against them. So you could expect probably even better than that from Kelce.
Jason Witten, you know, there's no Dunbar. There's no Dez Bryant. You know, with Dunbar not there to collect all those garbage targets, I think they could be, you know, chucking to the middle of the field to Witten as kind of the checkdown artist. You know, I haven't projected 7-8 catches this week. I think he's going to be one of the premier targets in this game as they play catch up.
Yeah, we hit on Witten last week, how he was one of my favorites of it commanding that consistent 7 or 8 targets a game. And it was a little bit down.
I didn't mean to say 7-8 targets. I meant to say catches. He's going to get more targets than that.
Well, we mentioned last week how he caught 21 of 21 catchable passes. Well, that's up to 25 of 25 now. So he's still catching every single thing thrown his way. The targets were just down last week. The Pats have been vulnerable to tight end so far. They're giving up about 5 catches and 50 yards to tight ends and then 2 scores in 3 games. So there's some opportunity there. And if Dallas falls behind, like we talked about earlier, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for Witten to catch those underneath routes and rack up some PPR points.
Yeah, we know Dunbar. I really like him as the check down specialist this week. Let's talk to Laney Walker. I kind of like a little Marcus Mariota. I like Kendall Wright a little bit too. I have them mixed in my tournaments. What do you think about Delaney Walker? You're looking to kind of swerve off the Gronks, off the Owen Daniels, off the Gates as kind of a sleeper this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Number 5 Pro Football Focused graded tight end so far, and Walker's perennially underrated. He just always seems to produce. He's got the 2 games that he's played, he's racked up 13 targets, and then Buffalo's been susceptible to the tight end, the 8th worst tight end defense, and at DraftKings, $3,800. Yeah, that's a pretty good value play. If you're not going to pay up for Kelce, you're not going to pay up for Gronk, Walker's somebody I'll be looking at this week.
And a guy, not Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, his brother from another mother, Richard Rodgers, with no Quarles in there, played 68 of 75 snaps last week. That's, you know, outside of Martellus Bennett, who basically never comes off the field, that's right up there with some of the other top guys in the league there. He's not coming off the field for Green Bay much anymore here. If you think St. Louis defense can, you know, is kind of tough, maybe they somehow keep it close. He's going to be in there playing a lot. You know, is he someone on your radar this week?
Sure. He's a nice little goal line option there. Over the last 2 weeks, he's top 10 in targets. Over for the whole season, he's Pro Football Focus number 14 most efficient tight end. He's got 2+ grabs in every game, so at least he's getting something. And much like I harp on Witten, who's caught everything thrown his way, Rodgers has as well. It's a little bit less, 13 of 13, but again, he's $2,900 at DraftKings. So, you know, him, guys like Walker and Rodgers, if you're going to go cheap at tight end, there's a lot to like about that approach.
Yeah, I can guarantee if you're catching every ball Aaron Rodgers is throwing your way, he notices that, and he's probably going to find a way to get you the ball a little bit more. Jeff, Jody, it's been a fun show. Real quick, Jeff, any last thoughts? You've had a couple of minutes to digest Vontae Davis news. you know, how off of DeAndre Hopkins are you now? Are you moving some to maybe a Mumphreys, you know, who should be, you know, theoretically getting more targets now? What's your final thought on that situation?
Yeah, I think that, again, that's just that sneaky play in GPPs. And I'm going to limit my exposure definitely to DeAndre Hopkins. The other news here, too, that's of importance, and we didn't really talk. I know we're mostly off on Indianapolis, but the news that came across is that Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh, yeah, it does not look good.
He can play the whole game. Wow, that is not good at all.
What do you think about the Texans defense at all? They've really struggled this season. Is this the spot they can bounce back?
Possibly. I still think it's just so risky, and certainly not for cash games if you want a higher floor play. I mean, you know, you might be able to hit big here, but you're right. They've been pretty bad. For a defense that has J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and Brian Cushing, they've been pretty bad. So I don't know if I'm going to make that play.
The biggest problem for them has been the inability to create turnovers, which is what put them on the board last week. Last year, such a great defense. This year, it's the opposite. They're negative in turnover ratio, and that's been a big problem for them.
Jody, what do you think about Arian Foster? Maybe they move to more ground central with Vontae Davis on Hopkins, probably shadowing him. Is that something that interests you?
Oh, absolutely. You got to have interest in Foster. He's the one who's had control over when he plays. And he said he was ready last week. He still led the team at carry. I think you're going to get a healthy portion of Foster this week. And if the Colts are unable to move the ball, it just bodes well for him racking up a ton of touches.
Yeah, I might move some. Not really sure how I'm going to do it. I'm going to have to get some Fosters into my teams today. But, guys, that's going to do it for us. Make sure to pay attention on Twitter. Maybe there's some more news comes out on Hasselbeck. Maybe you get an update on what his stomach's feeling like or anything on Vontae Davis. Stay tuned to that. If I see anything, I'll make sure to tweet it out to you guys. That's going to do it for us. Week 5. Hope everybody out there can win some cash this week. And for Jody and for Jeff, thanks for watching, guys.